Got, was that your email asking about help desk
staffing? Yeah, with the vehicle service department.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't reply on the thread because we have such a weird situation where we sort of semi-contract services from our federation for help desk support, but then we also have our own internal staff. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know how to quantify exactly. I've heard that going to like a 1-to-25 ratio is ideal, but very few of us can staff to that extent. So
yeah, I think we're 1-to-300 right now, and I'm trying to push so that I can have at least one more, because that 300 people is a lot for one person to handle.
Sure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially now, everyone needs help.
I know they do.
Yeah, the big issue is that it's everyone is doing the same amount of work, but working remote and having their own individual home-based issues. So you're 1.25 versus 1.1 as their normal situation. And then when you bring on new people onboarding, it's they're not a one, they're a two for the first 3 months till they understand the systems.
Oh yeah.
And then I don't want to say ageism, but it also depends on the age. You get a relatively young person, a student, they're usually pretty good at 70%, and 30%, they don't know what they're doing because they've never worked in an office. So you sort of tie back and forth.
Yeah. And a lot of times with the younger people too, they know it all. So they just, you know, oh, I don't need to talk to them. Just give me my log on. I'll take care of everything.
Yep.
Then they don't understand why everything's not working right.
Yep.
So, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you? I'm walking, so I will probably make you all sick if I turn on my video with the movement. But I had a question. You know, Chris made a good point about, or someone else on the phone made a good point about having, you know, startup and onboarding and that being very busy for the first 3 months. Have you all ever used another company just to temporarily come in for, say, like those 3 months for onboarding? And was that a benefit to you all? If so.
That's an interesting question. What we're looking to do is we're on the same network as our social service senior center, Cummings Center for Seniors, and we're planning for starting in April 1st is to split a resource for a level one tech that will be responsible for onboarding and basic network functions. So that'll come out of both of our teams so that we have a VoIP phone system. We have you know, VPN setup, laptop setup, database setup, basic items is all going to go to that one person for a level one. So it's going to handle both agencies on that one person. So that's been my strategy that we're looking to do. I don't know if Chris or Craig have any other thoughts on that.
Onboarding.
Terry's my boss.
Terry's her boss. Terry's at Gulf Coast too.
Okay.
So for onboarding, we've been trying to, as much as possible, develop new content and load it up on our HRIS. So we're using somebody that up until a week ago used to be UltiPro, and now there's somebody else, I forget who, but they have a learning module. And so we've been trying to produce as much self-made content as possible and then load it to the website, and then that way we can require it for viewing and track and make sure that people actually do go through the course material, and we can insert like quiz questions just to, you know, make sure people were awake and sitting at their computer while they were going through the program. So we started doing this for new employees, and so instead of somebody on staff sitting with a new staff person for an hour just to introduce them to everything, we try to have everybody start doing this. It seems to have reduced the volume of new first month user questions and has helped with smoothing things over, and also allowed us to refer people like back to the video and say, could you open up the video and fast forward to 10 minutes in and call us back if after watching that again you still have problems. People tend not to like it as much as the in-person instruction, but since nothing is in-person right now, it seems like it's a really good time to be able to start moving to alternate forms of guidance and education.
And also, well, if they get confused, they can go back and look at the video, right?
Right.
And not have to call you. Sorry.
As many times as they want.
And how many employees do you guys have?
We have somewhere around 350, maybe 400 employees.
Okay.
I'm sorry, John. Well,
yeah, we're using also Know Before. So anyone that comes in, they get a Know Before orientation, because one of the big things is all these cyber attacks. One of our major hospitals, my wife's a CFO there, they caught it just before the encryption software, but they were shut down to all their external areas for 7 weeks. They were island for 7 weeks.
Without being able to use their computers or anything?
They could use their computers only internally for 7 weeks. They couldn't go out to the internet or go remote sites. It's like a community health organization. So there's like 19 sites or something, and only things at the main hospital was accessible for 7 weeks.
Wow.
So cybersecurity is like on our radar as a agency, as a community. We work extremely closely with the Federation. We're in the building with them. They manage our network. They manage all of our items. We had a pre-conference on a cyber response group, which I'm a member of, and now we're presenting it to all the CEOs of all the agencies actually tomorrow, just because we're really, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you're going to get hit.
And so what is this cyber response? Should we be on it? I mean, should we be looking at that?
As an agency, absolutely, because at some point,
as a group,
it's something we could talk about, but I think it's more of it has to be everywhere, because someone's going to click. It's just a matter of how they inform you and how you react to that click. It's not a matter of blame. It's a matter of mitigating when it does happen. The activities that we know of that have happened, it's someone logged into a Gmail account on a computer in the office, for example, one place that I know of, and they downloaded a virus off their Gmail account. Boom. Like, there's 1,000 ways that you, no matter how you protect it, it's going to happen.
Because it's maybe doesn't go through virus protection. Your virus protection, the Gmail.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, yeah. What?
Opening somebody, your own personal email at the office, you're not getting the virus protection that your agency email is getting. I mean, you can have malware bytes, and you can have your virus protection that's getting screened, where your Gmail, it's not, or your AOL for the old timers kind of thing.
Yeah, that's how one institution got nailed. You know, everything from our regional transport got nailed in the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks to this hospital, which has 10,000 employees.
And they said,
do you all have
smaller now?
Sorry, Chris.
Smaller companies now, because they think that they're going to be more lax. So you have to be very careful being smaller or medium sized, because they, you know, they feel that they can hack you. And a lot of times the investment isn't there.
So do you all spend a lot of time talking with your staff and talking with the department heads about this? Like, you know, what are you doing to prevent that? Is that something you think about? Just training and training.
We send emails out weekly. This is the latest example of what a spam is looking like. There are people that are getting email on their personal cell phone. We have the corporate email on their personal cell phone, and it comes with rules, and you have to have locks and all that. But if they look at the name and not the email address when they're browsing through the window on the cell phone, they click the link, and now they're corresponding with somebody who's forged a CEO, a CFO, a COO's name, and they're sending personal cell phone numbers to this other party, who then says, can you go buy me 20 Walmart gift cards? And then the person immediately knows, there's no way this would really would be real. Yep. So then they just stop communicating.
And they also, once they get in, they can make, I've seen it where they actually make rules so that the person doesn't see the inbound emails and it gets hidden and buried and they're responding as that person once they get into their account. It is really, really bad. We have a PowerPoint here that we ran at our last staff meeting. We did a fish test. 17% of our network failed the fish test.
So send that to the network so we can put it up. I mean, I think maybe we should do, I think this IT group should do a security something for the network. Not everybody knows that because we have so many small agencies that are not large like yours that could really benefit from this knowledge.
Agency.
Right.
We are a small agency that's not large like yours. We actually
more work, Jonathan, but maybe it's not so much work if it's already done. I really think
well,
that
some of the stuff I can't because it's internal copies of internal spam that we like I can share
anyway we can talk about it later
we can talk about it there's like a lot of stuff but like it is rampant right now and the more we work remotely the more people are disconnected the more people want to respond to a CEO fraud because they want to look good for the CEO so they're going to do it
so
it happened to us don't you remember And then we had to get the two-point authenticator, and now it's coming to all of us. You just don't know that, but it is coming to the rest of the network.
The multi-function.
Because I exactly what you said happened. It was like, it actually had as a CC our accountant who's out of our network. He works for Federation. He's not even within our, you know, how would they know? He said, please pay this bill. And code for the accounts, and which is something that I was doing, you know, where does it get put to? And it CC'd our accountant upstairs. And I thought, wow, I had no idea. So I wrote back, I replied. I said, what is this for? I'm not familiar with this project. And they wrote back. This is something that I oversaw myself. And I looked at the dates and I was like, February? I worked for you in February. You were not in Dallas overseeing this construction project.
Right.
I can't imagine I wouldn't have heard about this, even though it said JFS Dallas. And so I texted him and said, call me, please.
Yeah.
At the risk of being a pain in the neck, right? What if it was him? And he's crazy. But I said, Ruben, I don't know. This seems weird. And it's $49,000. I'm not going to okay this. And it was absolutely. We had to, he had to re-sync everything. It was a nightmare had I put it through for sure.
Yeah. Well, I can show you, I'll quickly run the PowerPoint for the group if you want to just see it.
Sure.
Does the group want to see it? Sure, do you guys want to see it, Chris?
Yeah. So this is the Jewish General Hospital.
Yes.
They were down for seven, they're just getting their VPNs back this week.
Wow. We see the Bell Total Connect.
Oh, you see Bell Total Connect?
Right. We don't see PowerPoint.
I was gonna say it's it. Listen, you guys, I have to leave, and I've said this before, you all weren't on. Elisa, who is our director of digital technology and operations, is taking over as the contact liaison. I'm gonna miss you guys. I'm gonna come in every once in a while because this is really a very interesting group for me, but it's up her alley, and I'm gonna miss you guys, but I am still, hopefully, if this is good, I want you to do it for the network. And you always can keep in touch with me. You know that you can always talk with me.
You got us off the ground. Thank you.
Thank you all for all you do. You guys are the heroes, really, the unsung heroes, keeping everyone afloat at your agencies. It's amazing what you've done and how you did it. So hats off to you and happy holidays and happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And bye.
Thanks to you.
Bye. So here, the Jewish General Hospital, they October 29th, they got hit. They're just getting their VPN back this week.
Wow.
Ransomware attacks all over the place. This is our transit system got hacked October 19th. Took it down. Washington, D.C., pretty much all of us know, but that one got nailed pretty good. Blackbaud, which a lot of the people are using, they got nailed as well. This is an interesting. 2 in 5 employees are not sure what to do with the mobile phishing attack.
Huh.
You know, it's terrible. Like you can see, we had people saying, the typical fish is, send me your personal cell phone because I need to get you to do something. And it's coming from the CEO, and people, we had four people respond to an actual hack at that point. We got to take a look at it. Everyone's looking at it. This is the actual fish that we sent out to our people. And guess what? 20% failed.
Wow.
I'm waiting to see. They used my name on one of the phishing things.
Yeah.
And I send emails out all the time, so I'm waiting to see what the results look like.
Well, we had a big issue was, well, not a big issue. This week, we have a social committee, and the social committee collects money off of our paychecks. We haven't done anything this year, so the social committee said, we're going to give everyone a $15 gift card from Amazon. And I'm like, I've been telling everyone for the last 9 months not to open up something, and now you want to send them to it.
Right. Oh
my gosh. We sent out an email from the social committee. They copied me. I responded saying, this is legit. And now I still have 25% that haven't clicked on it because they're still terrified.
You know, our agency actually did that without telling us. And so I started getting emails from staff, and I said,
yeah,
you know, this looks legitimate, but right. Please don't click on right. it.
Right. So great.
I had to actually talk to my own development department, who said, oh, you know, the board was talking about doing something like that the last time. I'm not sure if they did or not. And I was like, I think they did. But, you know, now all the people who actually were paying attention were the ones who didn't click and get the gift card. So,
yeah, I have 20%. I got to keep resetting them. So. Couple other things, beware before you click, you know, the six most common. This is all from Tripwire.
Oh, Tripwire.
Most common attacks, inspect the URLs. This is all stuff we basically know. You know, the PayPal, it's not really PayPal.
Yep.
Spear phishing, Yair is the CEO of our federation. People, we had a bunch of people respond to this. You know, they target the CEO. I eliminated a bunch of slides because I had quick time, but yeah. You know, SMS stuff, what can you do? This is the most important slide. Stop, don't hurry. Look for the red flags. If in doubt, don't click. Forward it to the IT. I want to see it. Call the sender, training, strong passwords.
Mm-hmm. We use Know Before too. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah. This is a great, great slide. This has got all the tips. This is right from Know Before, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got this mobile attacks, Know Before as well.
Oh, wow. This would be great if you could send it so I could send it around to our little staff.
I can. I'll clean it a bit, and then I'll send it. We also have a fish button that you can send a fish. When you get the email, you can forward it to. If you send it to fish, it'll go to our different groups.
Did you have to pay extra for the fish button?
I think it was part of our package.
Okay, I'm gonna find out then.
Yeah, it's a plug-in, and you put it right in. You know, stay calm. The most important thing is let people know. If you screw up, let us know, because if you don't, it can get really bad. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all there. And this is our standard questions. We always put the deer in the headlights at the end. the thing that's, we once, about 5 years ago, we got a report of a virus on someone's computer in our office. And we cleaned it. We did the normal cleaning stuff. The person was rebooting. And one of my techs was in a network drive. And all of a sudden, he started to see all the names of the files in the network drive start to change their extension.
Oh.
As he was in the drive.
Wow.
But because they reported it through the help desk, I was on it. And when the guy said, why is this doing this? We knew exactly which computer to just yank from the network. And we lost an hour's worth of work. And then we have to restore, but it was just lucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. It's just lucky.
We had a little scare one time, and we were in here 11 o'clock at night, there was like five of us, and we were running around shutting everybody's computer off so we could figure out where it was coming from, letting people know. I mean, we'd shut the computer off and we were searching. It was ridiculous, but.
Yeah. But it's just, it's scary. That's the thing. If you say what keeps me up at night is one of those, you know, I'm
crypto lockers.
The crypto lockers, but from what I understand on a lot of these, they get in through a back door. They actually, in one case, they injected a enterprise-wide domain administrator account. And they were about to execute some code, but the antivirus picked up and stopped it.
Good.
But they took them 9 weeks with Microsoft and the FBI and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police going in there looking to see how they got in.
Wow.
Because they couldn't figure out how they got in.
Was that recent or was that a while ago? Sorry.
That was one of the ones that I showed you here.
Okay.
Do you guys log in with an admin account all the time?
No.
Good.
No.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
We were previously, and then we stopped, and all of us just have regular accounts, and then we use our... Yeah. And that was something new that we implemented within the last year.
Yeah. We also are using MFA for our Office 365, the Microsoft thing.
We're looking at that. We've been doing some research on the MFA. We looked at Duo and something else with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had Duo at one of the places. Mm-hmm. It didn't play well, but I think the Microsoft one, it's quirky. I'm going to just say, the only thing I can say, it is quirky. On our installation, we're a hybrid installation. It is quirky.
We are hybrid too.
So
we're on-prem, and I'm looking for a way to do dual factor with on-prem. That's going to be tricky, I think.
Yeah,
maybe through our VPN.
I don't know.
Yeah, as we're moving more of our formerly locally housed applications to vendor hosted, we're also trying to figure out how to secure now multiple points of entry to different destinations.
Right.
The two major vendors of ours have single sign-on compatibility with Microsoft and their Azure Cloud and Office 365, so We've purchased those extensions, but we have not completely integrated them yet. So the NetSmart one, the NetSmart one we're doing in January. We purchased I think it's called NIAM.
NIAM, yeah.
And then Blackbaud, the people who were responsible for that huge breach, they're our financial and donor software platform. They also are supposed to have compatibility. So
same, the NIAM?
Well, NIAM is NetSmart's own, but it's supposed to be the same principle and work with I forget the acronym for that, but it's the standard way of linking to a Microsoft multi-factor authentication enabled security platform.
Is that the new one or the old, the one that they've had for a while? Because there's something new that they showed us like within the last month, 6 weeks.
This is the older one.
Okay. Because I guess they're going to support the one and they're switching over to another one as soon as the contract or the agreement is done. Check with
your rep. I didn't know that.
Check with your rep.
Yeah. You mean Blackbaud or Microsoft or
NetSmart?
Oh, NetSmart. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So for NetSmart, it's the new one that we're using.
Okay.
Or newer one.
How's your staff at that? Are you, any of you guys going back to the offices? Or are you staying basically 99% remote?
We're remote until April of next year.
Did they say which year? 22, 23?
21, right. I'm not sure. I'll let you know when I get there. It feels like we're in 23 already.
Yeah, we've developed a criteria for when we move to a stage of being more in person. So I think we have like baseline things that have to be met, like, you know, vaccine widely available, X percentage of the population has received the vaccine, positivity rate goes down to Y percent. And then when all of those boxes are checked, then we'll move to I forget what color it is, right? But we have different phases in different colors. We haven't talked about, and that's why I thought of this as a topic for today. We haven't really talked about what's going to happen when everything's fine again, or, you know, as close to fine as it's going to get. Mm-hmm. And if there are going to be some programs and departments that are not going to ever be fully 100% in the office like they were before, but there's definitely a lot of internal advocacy for that among certain departments and programs, and then a lot of resistance to thinking about that in other departments and programs. So don't know what direction our entire agency will go, and I'm curious to see what kinds of discussions you've had in your own organizations about that.
Craig, I'd be very interested to see your criteria document if you could share it with us.
Yes, I would too.
Okay, I don't have that as easily available as you had in your presentation, Jonathan, but I'll go dig around on the Teams and see if I can find it.
We're basically, I think we're talking September coming back.
September.
Canada's going to be a little, partially back is the first initial. I think Canada's going to be a little bit slow, maybe a little bit slower than getting the vaccine out. There's 2,000 units, half a mile from me, just up the road, is one of the first locations that are being vaccinated in Canada. But I think it's going to be a slower progressive rollout here. I don't think they're talking that the critical numbers will be over the summer in September when we'll have enough people vaccinated, but I don't see us coming back to a full office for a long time. I don't think I agree with Craig that certain departments are not going to come back full time. I think it'll be split offices, split days. I think we're looking at a strain on equipment is one of the things that we're, you know, when COVID hit, we all just took every Pentium 1 out of our closet and sort of gave it to people to use if they could. And now that equipment is kind of getting tired, if I could say that. So I think we're looking at revamping some of that equipment and revamping some of the procedures, because I think that's the next stage of what we're doing. When Craig and I, we were talking, it's like, now that we're at past pandemic emergency, now it's pandemic long-term planning or midterm planning. So I think we're looking to replace about 20% of our laptops this year and 20% next fiscal, just because I think they're going to get tired.
Yeah, we've dragged stuff out of our closet, and the stuff that has to stay plugged in all the time that the staff are using at home. I mean, it was stuff that was scheduled to be recycled, and they're using
that. Yeah, I had stuff that the recycling people just hadn't come to pick up yet, fortunately.
And Same with us.
I must have purchased 75 SSDs. How many SSDs have we all purchased just to throw them into old equipment?
A lot.
No, but that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a donation of 50 laptops. They're i5s fourth generation. So they're old, but they're not terrible. Right. They all came with standard drives. So one of my techs is sitting there. I bought 25 SSDs. He says, we need more. I'm going to buy another 10 tonight.
Yeah.
And we're going to convert some of our older, these are 13 inch screens. We had old ones that were 10 inch screens. We're going to take the SSDs out of the 10 inch, put them into the 13 and
fire them up.
Fire them up and they'll run. It's one of the bigger things about Windows 10 right now. You can just swap them, just activate the key again if you have a volume license agreement, which we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Are any of you having trouble with the Windows 20 H2 upgrade?
I don't think we've rolled that out widely yet.
But people are now at home and they're downloading it to our newer systems on its own. Like it's not coming back to our SUS, our Windows server for updates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're kind of in a split mode because we emptied. My theory was keep your most of our staff had desktops. 98% of them had desktops. So keep your desktop in the office. Take an old laptop or remote desktop into your desktop in your office, and that way you have access to everything. You don't have to worry about. But if someone has a 10 megabit internet at home, they're on remote desktop. They'll be able to work. So our network administrator didn't push out a lot of the updates. So I think we have a bunch of machines still on 1909. Some of them are still on. Some of them still are on 204. So we're going to look towards getting a college student to come in and go through everybody and one by one upgrade everybody on their office machines. Just because you can't really push that one out effectively because it could take a system down for a few hours.
Oh, easily. Right. Mm-hmm.
So
that's a lot of with an MSI.
Sorry.
Can't you push it out at night? Like have people leave their computers on and just log out and push it out?
You can, but then if they have to make sure they log out of their system, log out of their files, any documents they have open is going to get messed up. And a lot of our staff are terrified to shut down their remote system or to log out because they tend to shut it down. And then we have to run around and turn them all back on because the computers are off. I would say 4 to 5 times a week, we have someone that actually shuts down their office computer.
Yeah.
The one thing that we did do, which was, Quebec, for those who don't know, we're the largest hydroelectrical producer in the world. We have great electricity, but we have power failures all the time. So we put all of our computers in the BIOS on power failure reset. So when the power comes back on, the computers boot. You can do that in certain BIOSes.
Wow.
I don't know if you've had this maintenance issue, but we've, with the portion of the updates that do get rolled out automatically, and then I think our Federation also has the machines configured to reboot and to not let users put that off forever. when the update process is happening, if users are not plugged into an AC adapter or if they shut down their computer while the update is happening, we frequently, between seldom and frequently, we'll get a blue screen because the update won't have finished loading and they've powered down the computer, and then we have to have the entire computer reimaged.
Yep.
It often won't continue the update. So
it'll also sometimes mess up applications. So let's say, and a lot of time Office 365 gets hung because you get that little icon, the little icon in the bottom right, and they don't notice it. And various apps don't work and they have to restart, and they're terrified of restarting because they're gonna shut down their computer.
So, and that's another nothing except for repeated please to not do that, and then repeated explanations of the difference between sleeping and turning off and plugged in and not plugged in. And
what we've done, actually,
doing something when it thinks it isn't doing anything. And
we have got a lot of confusion between home computer and remote computer. So we put everybody in their office. We made their backdrop the Microsoft Beach Jogger.
Yeah.
So they're on the beach in the office. So that's been our go-to, so that, where are you? Which computer? The beach? Okay, so you can restart the beach. Don't shut it down. So it just becomes, so the whole team knows that it's that version, because we need some kind of commonality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I just wanted to talk to you guys about the next bunch of stuff, and also to let you know that we did get the funding for the N10.
Oh, fantastic.
Program. And while I know absolutely nothing about this, we have a meeting tomorrow with Amy to what's going to happen going forward. And I have the information of who was interested from Lisa. And that also is now something that I'm going to be involved in. And so I'll let you know. We may, when I talked to Craig and Jonathan about how we wanted to go forward into 2021, we said every other month. I just rolled out the second Tuesday of the month every other month starting in February. But I think that we may have to have a pop-up about this N10 in January, once we find out what's going to happen with that. Does that work for
you? Sure. I think once you have your meeting, you definitely let Jonathan and I know how that turns out and if we can help out in any way. And then I think there is still time for other interested parties to become involved. And also, as Lisa mentioned, even agencies that don't have representatives attending this series of meetings, if they might want to still participate in the program.
Right.
However, whether it's through your communication system or just emailing the whole group, we should definitely let everybody know this is happening and give as much detail as we can on the process and the commitments needed and what we expect to get out of it, and then try to firm up attendance as far in advance of April as we can. I know it's not a small time commitment. I think it's very worthwhile, but agencies who participate will definitely have to make allowances for fulfilling all of the time requirements and doing all the work involved.
Mm-hmm. What was this? I'm sorry.
This was a nonprofit called N10, N-T-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
And their purpose is to help me out on this, Elisa, if I'm not
tracking,
but their purpose is to help provide nonprofits with kind of specific IT knowledge and infrastructure.
Oh, yes, I remember this.
Areas where they might not be adequately resourced or staffed to do that internally.
Mm-hmm.
So they develop cohorts and kind of give you an educational workshopping curriculum that extends for, I think, about like 5 or 6 months total.
6 months, yeah.
And then there's also beyond that, like opportunities for follow-up and additional support. But the main thing is this, the program itself, which they offer twice a year, and it's a specific topic or subject matter. And then they build a curriculum around what you requested as your subject or your area of concentration. So I think when we were on the initial call, the N10 representative suggested something like developing a organizational strategy to think about strategic planning for IT. And then we tweaked that a little to incorporate items like the pandemic and remote work and how those aspects of work might be changed. And to think about, I think we ended up with like strategic planning in the post-COVID era or something like that, to talk about how we would organizationally work to develop larger policies and procedures and take into account that this is a post-pandemic world, and how would we incorporate things like providing therapeutic services remotely and adjusting to our hybrid in-office, out-of-office existence, and how we could develop longer-term IT strategies around those factors. And so I think they'll show us a little more of what they have in mind as we get closer to the start of this program, I think, but that's the general idea. So they would kind of give us a rotating schedule of classes, seminars, discussions and guidance and advice.
It was like a couple hours a night, or a couple hours a night, a couple weeks a night. No, a couple weeks.
So
yeah, there was, was it like 4 hours of?
Right. So it says NT, well, they're calling it, it's from N10, but the program is nonprofit tech readiness. It's called NTR, because that's not confusing. But it says it's 6 months. Participants should anticipate 3 to 4 hours of program-related work each week during the first 2.5 months and 2 hours each week during the last 3.5 months. And it looks like it starts, because this isn't going to be a nightmare for me, March 29th, just before our virtual conference, and is Tuesdays. So they have... You know, but this is what was initially given to me, and I don't know. I wasn't in any meetings. I mean, Craig was, but we're having a meeting tomorrow to kind of onboard me, so I'll let everyone know what I found out.
That's where we're at. Yeah, part of the problem was we were talked about this in October, Craig, and no one really knew where we were going, so we want to keep it as much COVID related planning as we could, because it's the reality, you know. Originally they had some more generic things. We want to try and make it more relevant to what's going to happen going forward. So I think it's going to be a little fluid right now.
Okay. Perfect. So I'll send out a follow-up email, I guess, with, if Craig can send me his information, your chart you were going to send us that Jonathan asked for. Can I send it around to the group?
Okay.
And then Jonathan was going to send at least the 2 slides from before.
Yep.
And I will include the 6 meetings for next year, 2021. And I can pass it past the two of you before I send it out. I don't know what the procedure is here. Is that what you usually do? Or Lisa just sends it out and signs your name?
To the invoice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think she used her judgment based on whether or not she thought that she wanted us to review it or not. So if it's just passing out information, that usually just went straight out.
Okay.
I'm
not sure if I gave it to you, but we have like a distribution list. Maybe I should pass that along to the two of you also, so you can make sure I got everybody in the system. For our email distribution list. I mean,
yeah,
sure.
Sure, we can double check it. I think we've been using past emails to bounce around stuff.
Yeah. Well, if it bounces, I mean, Neon doesn't have anything old. We've taken it all out.
Okay.
So, and so far it's been, you know, for me, well, it's a learning curve for me, but it seems pretty robust and I'm excited to figure out how to use this and, make all of the affinity groups and all of our events run through here, so I don't have to type everybody's name in as attendees. My goal. All right, well, it was great. Oh, and the other change is actually we're making the meetings 50 minutes rather than an hour. Certainly for Lisa's groups, and we can decide on our own, but for Lisa's groups, they were just backing up into each other and she, you know, decided to shorten them, give everybody a break between.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Right. Yep. So it will be 3:30 to 4:20.
That works.
All right. Awesome. Well, it was great.
Thank you. Nice seeing you.
Yes.
Good to see you all.
Yeah. Be well. Be safe, everybody.
Everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy holiday season. Bye-bye.
All right. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Bye.